Yeah, let's get this show on the road, I guess. I don't know. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is, what is it? It's Monday. Monday. It's October 14th. October's half over. Pulling into the end of the year here. 9 a.m. exactly, on the nose, Eastern Standard Time. Getting a little bit of a late start here this morning. Today, tomorrow, and probably Wednesday, there will be a show, by the way, as far as I can tell. Yeah. Got a few things done that needed to get done. A couple things accomplished, which will help me get other things accomplished. There's always this, it's like a parade of events. In order to get this job done, I have to do this job first, and then in order to do that job, I have to do this other stuff first, and in order to get that done, I have to start with something else. It's all kind of cascades on itself. So now that I've got a couple of these little jobs out of the way, or little jobs, some major things done, I can start using those tools. I can use those things to get done, so get some other things done. So there you go. And then one of the things I've got done was... got my chai made this morning. I've got chai. My voice is a little funny this morning. Not sure why. I did some singing on Friday night. Not that much, but voice is a little bit scratchy. I've got a regular chai with my cinnamon creamer, but the pièce de résistance is the tea I have here in my cup. Last night I made a gallon of sweet tea with peaches in it. I have, my wife did this thing where she cut up a bunch of peaches for me, and she like diced them up, not really diced them, not, but you know, small pieces, and froze them in those little bags. And so it's like one peach per bag or something like that. And it was, so when I make a gallon of sweet tea, I put this frozen chunk of peaches in there, and it works pretty well. It seems like I left it sit overnight. Of course, I made it last night. Got everything ready to go. Have to do all the sugar and everything while it's still hot, so you get this caramelization process that happens properly. And then you have you just dump in the. And when you pour it over ice, I put about a half a pitcher of ice. That half the gallon is just nothing but ice. So I make the tea, let it steep for 15, 20 minutes, and then put the sugar in it and pour it over ice. Well, now part of that ice also includes this little chunk of frozen peach slices, which kind of releases the flavor of the peach, I think, a little bit better because you're pouring hot water over it. So as it's melting, it's releasing more. Now, I'm not sure what that does to the longevity of how long the peaches will last in the tea, because if you don't drink it soon enough, it'll turn brown. But if it's, boy, it's really good. I poured myself a cup of it this morning here, and it's just... I have a hard time drinking my chai because that stuff's so good. Anyway, the couple things going on last week and over the weekend. I didn't get to have a show on Friday, of course, but I think it was last Thursday or Friday. Barack Obama crept out of the woods. They're also pulling Bill Clinton out. But Bill Clinton's got some credibility issues. The left doesn't really they don't really like him too much, as much as they used to. They just think he's the greatest guy. They'll still tell you he's one of the best presidents they ever had. And yet they'll call Donald Trump a pig and a monster and all these other things, because when Donald Trump was a Democrat, he was quite the philanderer. You know, not something you could say about Bill Clinton at all. No. Taking advantage of a White House intern in the Oval Office. Having, long-term affairs on Hillary, the most wonderful person on the planet. Why would you ever have an affair on Hillary? Yeah, my dog was laying down fine before until I started talking. I don't know what's going on with this. I think he's trying to get away from me. He's trying to dig a hole. And of course, my water softener kicks on. I don't understand that either. I can start at 6 a.m. I can start at 10 a.m. It doesn't matter. My water softener kicks on. We've got this dual tank water softener system thing that only kicks on when it needs the soft water. So when the tank, when one filter has used a certain amount of water, and the other filter kicks in, and then the tank thing runs. It's just, I don't know, I don't understand it. All I know is we're using about half the salt we used to use. If that, probably a fourth of salt we used to use. It's pretty amazing. Works very well. But the, I'm sure we've paid for it. And it was a little more expensive, but I know we've paid for it by now with the salt we've saved. So the price of salt we saved over the last couple of years. So we have, not only that, but it actually works really well. The other one just went off on a timer like every other day or every 3 days or whatever it was. It didn't seem to matter, you know, whether they used if you used a lot of water, then of course, by the time that thing ran, you were already kicking into, you know, it was beyond the capacity of the filter system. I call it a filter. It's not really a filter, but it kind of is. But so then we had this, but now it's based on how much water you use. And so there are times we don't use much water. So. So anyway, they pulled out the big guns. Barack Obama came out to chastise black men, pretty much belittled them all, chastising them all about the fact that they're misogynists. You know, they need to get out and vote for somebody who looks like them. Now, I'd like to play this audio. Maybe I can find this real quick. This is very similar to, you know, my thing about this kind of stuff, it's just what gets me. I hate double standards. I always have. And I realize it's a part of life. It's not something you're going to do away with in my lifetime. That's for sure. I mean, it's just one of my things that gravel me. And why does the Electoral College exist? That's kind of interesting. I think I was going to do a thing, but I think I talked about doing a more in-depth study about the Electoral College. There are people out there right now, there are people in academia who would like to, you know, the college professors, making up stories now about things about the Electoral College. One of them that I heard most recently was that this was kind of by accident. This all happened by accident. This whole Electoral College thing, it just all happened by accident because they couldn't come to an agreement about how they would pick the president, how they're going to vote for the president, how it would happen. And so they went on this whole tirade thing about this whole story. And it's funny, because I can't find any historical documents that would suggest that his narrative actually existed. You know, he acted like he was there during this whole process and he was involved in the conversations going on. I'm like, there's no documented evidence of anything he's saying. He did say that, okay, they decided on this, they wanted to do this. There were these different ways they wanted to do it. And then the way they came down to it was the Electoral College. Now, because they wanted to, there's one group that wanted to have Congress decide who that would vote on who the president would be. Of course, now that's separation of powers thing. That was just not going to work. Another one was that they would have the different states have certain voting rights. There's all kinds of different ideas that people had. And of course, then they came up with this Electoral College, which is basically like a mirrored Congress kind of idea, if you want to look at it that way. It's a voting for congressional representatives that only have one job, and that is to appoint the president. Now, because we really have a representative government, we're supposed to have a representative republic, and it's not a democracy. They like to lump this in. There are some, I should say, people who make dictionaries and who try to define words. And this one, because I used to get into this one argument with this one lady from I used to go to high school with, who's on Facebook. We don't talk to her anymore. She would always go on about this whole thing about how democracy, republic, all that stuff. Why is there such a big? So she went someplace and found this obscure. Well, I guess it was not that obscure. Some kind of definition on Wikipedia or whatever it was, that a republic is a form of democracy. It falls under the heading of democracy. It's a subset of democracy. No, it's not really. And this is where the definition, I think, has become very skewed and muddled and hazy, because academia wants you to believe that they want to have it. They want democracy. They would like a pure democracy is what they would like to have. Now, pure democracy is mob rule, as we know. And for some reason, when you use the term pure democracy, here again, we run into this problem of, well, the founders didn't come up with the democracy. That democracy was started with, the guys who, Aristotle and all these guys that came up with all this stuff back in the Greek stuff, kind of came up with this democracy, or they recognized it. I think actually people voted on things before that, but it was mob rule. And so that's where that came from. Now, a pure democracy is mob rule. When you mention the term pure democracy, for some reason, I don't know why this is, other than everything's racist, of course. But for some reason, the left will jump into this thing of, well, the founders, when they talked about a pure democracy, they were talking about the pure white people were pure. Pure democracy was just white people voting. I'm like, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the principle of democracy itself. Nothing to do with race, just democracy itself. When 51% of the people can decide how the society will be run or what happens in the society, you have a mob rule. If 51% or 98% of the people vote for something to take away 2% of the people's rights or one person's right, if you have one person who has rights and the other, and somebody who has done nothing wrong, hasn't taken anybody else's rights away, they just vote to decide that they're just going to have this person die because they got a weird ear, they got half an ear or something. So they're like, we're going to vote that person be put to death. Well, that's pure democracy. Well, that's democracy. Democracy rules. Can't challenge our democracy. So democracy is for some reason, that's their God. You know, that's their religion. Basic rights are tossed out the window, much like the right to life. There's some very interesting, if you have a chance to watch one of Mark Levin's most recent broadcasts, I think it might have been over the weekend. I just watched it this morning. It talks about this whole case that they keep bringing up about this one woman who died because of she couldn't get an abortion, so she ended up dying because the state wouldn't allow her to have an abortion or whatever it was. I think it was Georgia or someplace, which is the heartbeat rule. If there's a heartbeat in the child, you can't have an abortion. And her life was in danger. Well, the problem was it was malpractice by the hospital, but it was also it had nothing to do with the law. The whole thing it's a sham. They're trying to use this case as a cudgel to make sure that people, that this one particular case, and that one particular case is a lie. But the problem is that they want, the whole idea was that if a botched abortion, let's say somebody tries to have an abortion, that baby comes out and the baby's still alive. There was one law in the books in one of the states, I'm not sure which one it is, where if the baby's born alive, regardless of whether what the intent was, that now that baby has rights. It's alive. It's outside the womb. It has rights now. It has a right to life. People on the left would like to say, no, it doesn't have any rights. Its intention was to be aborted. the kind of sick stuff we go through here, this arguing this kind of stuff. And really, what I believe the at some point, and I'm not sure the Supreme Court could even rule on this. I'm not sure if they can. At some point, there's got to be a ruling. There's got to be a determination of when does life begin. See, they can't make that statement because they don't want that to be part of the equation. Reproductive rights means that, of course, when you talk about this whole thing where this one former governor, he ended up mentioning one of the legislations they're trying to get passed through is that there would be a post-birth abortion within hours after having a baby. You could decide to keep the baby comfortable and then kill it. So the parents would have a chance to decide what they're going to do with it. This is the kind of sickness we have going on right now. I best not get into this this morning just because it's not where I want to go. So we have Barack Obama out there parading around trying to promote this. To me, when they start bringing out these kinds of guns, one of the things he was saying was that he's noticed that there's not the kind of enthusiasm for Kamala that there was when he was running in 2008. Well, duh. And I think people are weary of look. One of the biggest reasons that Barack Obama got elected was because he was black. Not because of his policies, not because of his politics. Because he was a black man. There were people who wanted to vote for a black man for president. I think for a variety of reasons. One of them was this hope that, okay, this is going to finally heal our nation of this divide, this all this racism, he's broken the glass ceiling, he's broken the all the stuff, whatever we want to call it, broken through the barriers. It's a new day, a new age. I remember the day after the election, and just. Not the day after, but a couple of days after the election. When you go to a restaurant or a fast food place, you go through a drive-thru, whatever you're doing, and there's a person of color there, African-American. And you could tell, there's this kind of this hope of, okay, so you guys got your president. You've got your skin color person. That's important to you, and I get it, okay. We're going to get along now, right? You're not going to hate us anymore, right? Because I'm white, you're going to stop hating me now. And Indiana actually voted, well, it turned blue then for that particular year in 2008. Did not for 2012. So my thing, I think there was a lot of disillusioned people. I think that they voted for this guy thinking that there was something going to change. It was all hope and change, right? Hope and change. Hope and change. Hope and change. Now it's just change. No hope. Just change. I'm the change candidate. Oh, not the hope and change. Just change. Even though you're the one in office right now. But you're going to change things. Whoa, I just, that was a little chai cup bump there. So now we have the hope and change guy out there. A man who didn't change anything with regard to racial relations in this country, or ethnic relations. I really don't like using the word racial. There's one race. There's the human race. And I really hate to, we have ethnic issues, ethnic divides, cultural divides. And just changing something for the sake of changing it does not necessarily make it better. And I see this happen a lot, and we're a different culture, so we have to be this way. We have to have names this. We can't be named, with these kinds of names. We have to use these names. We have to spell our names differently. We have to do all this differently because we're the anti-whatever thing. And so you find yourself, what you don't realize is that you're actually being motivated by something that is still, you're still motivating. I had this church, plant one time from our, this one church we went to. It was quite a dynamic place. And this one little group of young adults, there's like four or five of them that were actually in our church, a family in our church, started to break out among college-age kids, young adults. And they were all 17, 18 to 20, 24, 27, right in that age group. It's like 100 of them. It's just started attending a church, started having meetings, started doing this stuff every night. They were doing something every night. And it's just, I've seen this happen before. It all kind of comes together. The chemistry's there. Everything just kind of happens. And it's usually instigated by one or two people in particular. And it just happened in our church. And of course, they decided they were going to plant their own church. They went off to plant their own church. It was about 4 miles from the original church. It was actually downtown, bought the old movie theater. And they wanted to establish themselves as the anti-traditional church. So everything that they did, everything. Well, the traditional way of doing it is this, so we're going to do it this way. And my point with, I talked to one of the pastors at one point, he's a young guy, and I said, he considered himself a leader. You know, he considered himself a pastor because that would be too traditional. And I said, are you being motivated by the spirit of God here, or are you being motivated by anti-traditional spirit? What motivates you guys to make the decisions you're making? It seems that you're being manipulated. You're still being manipulated by the tradition because you're doing everything against tradition. So that means the tradition now is still affecting you because you're making your decisions based on what is tradition, not. You see what I'm saying? It's you're making those kinds of decisions, and I think that people, it went for several years. Of course, now things what happens typically is, they start with an evening church. Was it like it met like an 8:08? It was an evening church, didn't meet on the hour, met on off the hour because they didn't want to, because that's too traditional. So they had to meet instead of meeting at 8 o'clock, they would meet at, the meeting would start at another different time, 8:08 or whatever it was. And so they now I'm all about this kind of stuff. I think it's cool. It's innovative. I think that sometimes we need to buck tradition. That's great. We need to sometimes ask ourselves when we're doing something because of tradition. It's like, why are we doing this? Because let's not do this. But it's just tradition. Why don't we look at it a different way? I have no problem with that whatsoever. But when it becomes this point where everything you do can't be. Now, what was funny is after a while, this group of young single kids. Well, some of them started getting married. Some of them started having kids. Some had to participate in regular real life together, and next thing you know, they're meeting on Sunday mornings, and it became a regular time, and it became a regular church, and everything became much more traditional, and some of their anti-traditional stuff became traditional. But I'm not even going to get into that. But the it's their tradition, so it becomes your own. You can't get away from that. Just people are creatures of habit. And funny thing is, they kind of turned into just a regular church with regular stuff, kind of traditional. And I guess what is interesting about that is this whole thing. The reason I bring that up is because we had this president who supposedly was going to usher in this new season of racial healing and ethnic healing and all the stuff that, we thought was going to bring promise of this whole thing. Now, of course, at the time, I didn't like his policies at all. I considered him to be he's a collectivist. There's no question. He's a extreme collectivist. He's one of the guys who says, one of the comments he makes, and one of the statements he made on his inauguration or his acceptance speech, was that we were now going to start the fundamental, you know, transformation. This fundamental transformation thing that he brought up. It wasn't fundamental restoration, foundational restoration kind of thing. It was a fundamental transformation. Fundamental. That means going back to the fundamentals and transforming them. The founding principles. Going back to our founding principles and transforming them. The only reason he studied the Constitution, my opinion, the only reason he studied the Constitution was to subvert it, was to find the holes in it, to find ways around it, and to find things that he could use to act against it. One of the things he would always say is the Constitution has a lot of things that says that the government can't do. It doesn't say what the government can do or should do or will do or has to do. And that, of course, that gets into the whole thing of collectivism and what government is obligated to give you, which means that and there's a point for that. There's the reason there's nothing in there about that is because that's not what a free society, a self-governed society is all about. Here you are, you're an individual, you have these rights, you have the right to govern yourself. If you impose on someone else's rights, well, now the government gets involved in protecting that person's rights and sees to it that your rights are secured. That's what their job is. I don't care what anybody tells you when they say, well, it's the government's job to do this or do that. No, it's the government's job. If they're not talking about your rights and protecting your rights, that's the main fundamental job of our republic, our representatives in our republic, is to represent you and your rights. That's why they take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Because that is the fundamental job that they have, is to go to Congress and make sure that our rights are protected. Not how we can tax people and spend more of their money. But that's where government is right now. That's the problem we have. Money's flowing everywhere. So we have Barack Obama steps out there and it makes these comments that, hey, you know, things aren't going well. They know. Internal polling does not look good right now. In fact, it looks right now, the electoral map, and I think it's going to be worse than this. I think we're going to see some interesting things happening. Now, there are some really wacky, crazy lawsuits going on right now in Arizona and Georgia especially. Wisconsin is the only swing state right now that it looks like Kamala could win. And even that one is – the trajectory is as far as the momentum right now is going back towards Trump. And I think if Trump wins about two more rallies in Wisconsin, it's going to be over for her. She's just not – she's not pulling through. How many surrogates are coming out campaigning for Donald Trump? In other words, how many politicians are out there? How many establishment people from Republicans are out there stumping for Donald Trump? Donald Trump had a rally in Butler where he was shot. The second rally he had there to commemorate the life that was lost and the people who were injured and everything that happened there. And to continue on, he basically got up there and said, as I was saying, when he got there, 120,000 people showed up for that rally. 120,000 people. Not to see a hip-hop concert, not to see something going on. They weren't bussed in from all states all over the place. It wasn't an invite-only thing. The people just showed up. I'm sure there were people invited. I'm sure people came from buses. I'm sure people, you know, I'm sure that all happened. But it's, you don't have 120,000 people bust in for that, something like that. That's the kind of enthusiasm we have on the right now. And even the Republican establishment, I think, is somewhat behind Trump winning this thing because they realize, hey, this guy, he really is probably the candidate we need. They're conceding to this idea. They don't like the guy, especially the people in the deep state. The people people who are established bureaucrats do not like this guy. They're going to fight against this guy. Now, Jamie Raskin and some others who are supposedly constitutional scholars, but they don't care about our democracy at all, because what they're talking about is they're going to disqualify Trump on January 6th. Even if he wins the election, they're going to disqualify him. He's made this statement more than once. Well, we'll all have to have bodyguards because we're going to disqualify Donald Trump. That's where they're heading with this. This guy could win in a landslide. He could get all of the Electoral College votes. And Jamie Raskin would probably step up and say, he's disqualified. We're going to keep him from being in office. That's what they would do. That's what they're after. They are to a point of concern that's off the chart. These people will do anything to keep him from being in office. They're realizing right now that Kamala is not pulling it off. Bill Maher realizes that Kamala is not pulling it off. They're trying to keep... Here's a weird deal. In Georgia, there was a law that they had passed about voting regulation that they had passed, that there would be part of the negotiations of all the stuff about mail-in ballots and all the stuff that they were doing. One of the things they were going to have was independent monitors. People would come in and monitor and be allowed to actually watch the voting process and see what was going on. They'd have monitors checking things, looking over everything as the counting was being done. Well, they didn't like that. So there was this attempt to negotiate the process of how that would happen. Well, so I think it was Raffensperger, or whatever the guy's name is. It's Attorney General, whoever it is down there, would appoint the people who would be the monitors. Well, no. Now they're not independent anymore. You need to have the Republicans party itself needs to come up with some monitors, and the Democrat party needs to come up with some monitors, and they can both come in and monitor as much as they want to, and they can have as many as they want. You know, as long as there's a functional ability in the facility where they're counting. You know, you can have each of them have 20 monitors apiece or whatever it is. Comes in, and they have to have full reign and ability to watch everything and make it as transparent. Why would they not want it as transparent as possible? Monitors are just monitoring. They're not affecting the election. They're not coming in and changing votes. They're monitoring the process. Why would they object to that? And yet that's what they're doing. They filed a lawsuit to get that whole provision kicked out, knocked out of there. We don't want monitors. Why not? Don't you care about protecting our democracy? That's the weirdest thing when it comes to all this fervency that they have about protecting our democracy. And then yet they turn right around and do everything they can to subvert it. Tell us that any voter ID. Oh, why? No, that's illegal. You're disenfranchising people. How many people do you think we're actually disenfranchising? What's the number there? Have you come up with a statistic on how many people would actually not vote because they don't have vote ID? How many would be there? How many are going to lose in that process? Oh, they shouldn't lose a single one. Well, then give them an ID. The problem is, there's a lot of people out there without IDs that are going to vote. You know, a lot of people, in fact, there's a rule now in Wisconsin. This is another thing that they're trying to do. I think it's Michigan. It's either Michigan or Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure it's Wisconsin. Maybe it is Michigan. Now that I think about it. Oh, it is Michigan. It's Michigan. Those of you in Michigan, I know I have some listeners in Michigan. Michigan. That what they're trying to do is, you don't even have to have ever lived in Michigan to vote in Michigan now. This is what the state attorney general has determined now. They've decided that you don't, if as long as you have a dependent that you care for or that you send money to or whatever it is, if you can, I don't even think you have to prove, you know, citizenship basically, but you never have to have lived in Michigan in order to vote there. As long as you don't vote anywhere else. That's what they'll tell you. That's the rule. As long as you don't vote anywhere else. Well, how do you know if I voted anywhere else? It is the most ridiculous rule that they've come up with. And it is so, it's just the shenanigans go on and on, this stuff. By the way, one of the things in Georgia that they're dealing with, and one of the reasons that they're having these new rules put into place, is because they realized that there were some ballots that were double counted, double scanned. They won't say how many. Well, it was just a few. It wasn't enough to affect the outcome of the election. You know, at some point, all these things that don't have enough influence to affect on the election, you start adding them all together. And after a while, they have an effect on the election. You know, it's like, well, that didn't have any effect on the election. I think Georgia's, we're talking about 11,000 or 13,000 votes. Do you know how small of a number of pages that is? I mean, when you start stacking them up? It's not that much. You can feed them in a tote box. And this idea that they can be, oh, well, there wasn't that many. Well, so was it 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 100, 2? Was it 2, 3? If it was 2 or 3, they wouldn't even mention it, probably. I guarantee if it was less than 100, they would have said the number. There was only 87 of them. Oh, there was a small number. Well, it wouldn't have affected the election. So it was 4 or 5,000? And then you had 4 or 5,000 that were, you can't verify? And you had 4 or 5,000 that had no signatures? At 4 or 5,000 that had Mickey Mouse's name on it. At some point, the stuff all adds up, and it does affect the election. But they constantly just go on with this whole thing of, oh no, there was no widespread voter fraud. I think there was somebody in Pennsylvania, one of the swing states, that got arrested for, they were caught double scanning or double voting, whatever they were doing. They were voting a couple of times. They were actually workers, election workers. And they were caught doing something. They're going to be prosecuted. There's two or three of them that did something that they caught. And of course, They're making an example out of those people. Oh, look, we caught this. These people, there was only a couple of votes there, but so it didn't affect the election, but it was just a couple of votes. Well, what else were they doing? Yeah, there's more to it than that. But I digress. We have an interesting week ahead of us. I'm going to try to put together as much as I can in terms of some audio clips of Kamala, some crazy things she's been saying. This whole thing, I don't know if some of you saw this. I think it was ABC or CBS, I don't know who it was. Another photo op where Tim Walz goes off on a hunting trip. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. This happens, it seems like it happens every election cycle. Oh, Democrats are going off on a hunting trip. Cameras are all rolling. Look, they're going hunting. Because I'm pro Second Amendment. Kind of like going hunting with Dick Cheney and get shot. He goes off. He's got a Glock shotgun, which I'm not going to go into types of guns I prefer, but he's got this Glock. He can't load the thing. He's having a hard time loading it because he doesn't know how to do it. You have to release the slide. He can't even load the stinking shotgun. He's having a hard time with it. Claims it has this patented thing where it has a cushion on the stock to protect your shoulder. I think about every shotgun, hunting gun I've ever had has always had a cushion shock, you know, thing on the end of it. If not, you can just put one on it. But it's just ridiculous stuff. He's out there, he's got his brand new cap, brand new, you know, safety gear, brand new jacket, looks like an L.L. Bean commercial. Everybody that's with him, nobody else that I saw in this group in any of the photos that I saw has a gun with him. Just Tim. Tim's the only one with a gun. He's got this guy following him, wearing exactly the same kind of hat. Everything's brand new. Everything's spotless. I don't know about you, but if anybody who goes hunting a lot, you'll find that your hunting clothes typically have kind of this. Well, first of all, you don't want brand new clothes. You want clothes that have been, you keep the scent off of them. You want to do all kinds of stuff the new smell of clothes is incredibly strong. That scares everything off. So just all kinds of issues with this. And everybody's got mismatched clothes. When you show up with your buddies to go hunting, nobody's got the same kind of exact same hats, same kind of jackets. It just looks ridiculous. It's an obvious, he's walking through the field with his shotgun, walking through this tall grass. And what are you looking for? Elephants? What are you hunting for there, buddy? I guess it's pheasant season, maybe, or something. I don't know what it is up there in Minnesota. These people just are so, it's just such political theater. And it just, that kind of thing just aggravates the daylights out of me. But I don't think, getting back to the whole Barack Obama thing, I don't think that the black population, I think the men especially, realize, hey, under Trump, we were doing better. And I don't care what the color of the person's skin is. That doesn't, we were fooled by Barack Obama thinking that we were going to have some kind of representation and get something done and get, have something change. It just made it worse. In my opinion, Barack Obama's presidency made ethnic relations in this country, there was a greater divide when he left office than there was when he was there, before he started. That's just my opinion. I can't prove it statistically or anything else. I just think that there was a greater degree of people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, those kinds of people rose up with even more division, divisiveness, hatred, bitterness. There's no healing. There was never any from this supposedly Christian president that we had. Never any talk about forgiveness, reconciliation. I never heard those words come out of his mouth. Never. And how else are you going to have a reconciled country? Now, reparations are not reconciliation. It just leaves bitterness on both sides because there's never enough. The people who are being taken from, who had nothing to do with it, just feel ripped off. So it's just been a tool that they have used to stay in power by keeping us divided. That's all it is. They play off the division. They play off of this idea that all these racists are out there. Some politician just came out recently and said something about, yeah, there are gangs taking over cities. They're MAGA gangs and white supremacists. That's who's out there taking over the, yeah. And another thing, I keep hearing about Donald Trump wants to end the Constitution. He wants to suspend the Constitution. Every bit of the Constitution. Since when? When did he actually say? There's all kinds of things that they say he said, or has said, or he's or done. He's never done. He didn't say inject bleach into your blood. He never said anything like that. That was a reporter that reported on it and made the comment, and then they just took off with it. Oh, he wants you to take bleach. That's not what he said. These people are just, and there's no accountability for any of this. Just continue to lie. He wants to ban IVF. He's just the opposite. He wants insurance to pay for IVF. Where do they come up with this stuff? And they get away with it all the time. And it's just lie after lie after lie. And just it I think that the they've kind of overplayed their hand, I think, in this election too much. They've brought out the phony fake stuff and tried to bamboozle everybody. Of course, the whole thing with Kamala. Now, of course, they're going to have a problem here. I'm not sure Joe's going to make it to January 20th. I'm going to bring this up again. I'll close with all this. But I don't think Joe's going to make it to January 20th. I think they're going to if Trump wins, they're going to put Kamala in. They're going to let Trump. If they let him get to January 20th, they'll actually let him get into office here at this point. Now, it's funny because they've ticked off Joe Biden and his family and his administration. They've ticked him off. There's a lot of infighting going on behind the scenes here that we're not privy to. But I guarantee you, Joe's whole attitude has changed a lot in what he says about Kamala and everything that's going on there. Now, my opinion is that he's kind of mad about it. And he's kind of like, well, you think you're so smart? I'm just going to say what I want to say, and you have to deal with it. So I think that's where things are right now, and I think that's become he's become a little bit of a problem for them. And she's trying to excuse herself from the current administration, saying she's not what's going to be different about you than Joe Biden? And she says, well, I'm not Joe Biden. But at the same time, I'm not Donald Trump. Oh, yay. What does that have to do with any policy? What is that about? And yet she says there's nothing she would have done differently. She was involved in all the decisions because they have to make her look presidential. Like she was involved with this whole thing. Like she's been right there with Joe leading the nation. She hasn't been just sitting on the sidelines. And yeah, that's what the vice president does, basically. They get their briefing every day, and they preside over the Senate. That's about it. So that's it. They cast a deciding vote occasionally. But somehow she's supposed to, I was involved. I was in all the meetings with Joe and all the decisions he made. But, the decisions are bad. Economy's bad. So you're tying yourself to this economy. You're tying yourself to the wars we're in now, all the stuff that's going on around the world. Yeah, I guess so. But I'm going to be different. Day one, we're going to change all this. Well, day one is today. So the big question is, what are they going to do? This is what I think is going to happen. I think Trump is going to win. Joe Biden will be considered to be inadequate, inept, and all this other stuff. They're going to go after him because I'm not sure what he's going to do. I think he's going to stand in the way of anything happening to Trump because he's so mad about what happened here. He's going to say, I could have beat Trump. His opinion is going to be, I could have beat Trump. We could have beat Trump. I'm the only person who's ever beat Trump. I could have beat him again. She did worse than I would have done. And so I'm going to stand in the way of them trying to take over or do anything else. So he's going to stand in the way. So they have to get rid of him. So they're going to pull out the 25th. They're going to have him step down. Kamala's going to step in as the president. And the last couple months of this country, December and January, are going to be a horrendous time where I believe there's going to be what I call slash and burn politics. So they are going to destroy, they're going to put everything into the system that they can to destroy our economy. I think that we are going to have a very, very bad first year under Trump's presidency. And it's all because of the things that they do in the last couple months under this administration, which I don't think is going to be Biden's administration. I believe it's going to be Kamala's administration. She will never get to run again. Let's put it that way. I don't think they're going to put her up as a candidate in 2028. I don't think so. She might try to be in the primary. Nobody's going to vote for this lady. This is much like Hillary Clinton. She was seen as the loser after that, and that's all she was seen as. There's no way she was coming back from that. And I think that's Kamala's fate as well. But once if they can't do anything to keep Donald Trump out of office, they are going to slash and burn the economy, make it look like the Republicans and Trump are just they're a mess. Now, they're going after Elon Musk. They're going after all these people. They're going to try to arrest and prosecute. They're doing it already. They're filing charges against all these people. And yet they're telling us that Trump's the one who's going to put everybody in prison. Now, he's pulling out some interesting legislation, talking about what he's going to do to correct some things, some emergency powers that the president has, mostly involving the border, some other issues with that. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy time, I think. I don't think it's going to be, it's not just going to, they're not just going to walk off quietly into the night. The Democrats are going to be a bit of a problem. Their heads are going to pop off. They're going to panic. They're going to be outraged. The delirium is just going to be at an all-time fevered pitch. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. The first year, I just don't think that, you know, we elect this guy. First year, nothing's going to be easy. It's going to be a tough time, I think, in my opinion. We'll have to see what happens, but I think we're in for some struggles. I think that the end of his presidency, I think by the end of the 4 years, by 2028, I think that things will be back on track, in my opinion. I think it'll take us a couple of years to get there. But I think it's going to happen. I'm very hopeful for it. I just hope the American people can stay together, hold together, remain together. We need to pray together is what we need to do. Forgive each other. God bless everybody. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.